Welcome to the Also Show of Entrepreneurship and Regional Development Podcast. Each publication in our journal is a great opportunity to share significant and audacious contributions to a large audience. My guest today is Ling Li from Manchester Metropolitan University. She recently published an article entitled Worldview Matters, Exploring the Interplay Between Indigenous Worldviews and Entrepreneurial Journeys. Storytelling from Chile's Mapuche. She co-authored this paper with Sebastian Barros and Robert Blackburn. It has been published in Entrepreneurship and Regional Development, a journal edited by Taylor and Francis. Ling, welcome to our podcast.
Thank you, Vincent. My pleasure.
Can you tell us, what is the origin of your paper? Why did you decide to address this particular topic? And what is the key question you aim to answer?
Well, okay, I'll keep the long story short. This paper comes from my PhD research. I finished about 2 years ago. So when I started my PhD, I was originally focused on the sustainable entrepreneurship. Until one day, I read a newspaper from BBC about there's a tribe fire taking place in Amazonia forest, and the local tribe met together trying to use indigenous knowledge solve the issue. I was really fascinated by the article because I was trying to finalize my theoretical framework during my first year. So I think, oh, maybe I should study indigenous people, maybe indigenous knowledge. So I started some literature review on the topic of indigenous knowledge. And then I realized there's something behind that, maybe bigger, because knowledge is mainly about the way of knowing epistemology, but what are the reality they perceive? So I kind of move on to the topic of indigenous worldview. Literally, there's a rich body of literature on this indigenous worldview. But really, there's an interconnection has ever made within the, with entrepreneur research, not just indigenous entrepreneurship research, but also broadly entrepreneurship research. So I think, okay, maybe for my PhD, I can kind of look at the intersection between indigenous worldview and indigenous entrepreneurship, and mainly asking the question, what's the role played by indigenous worldview within the venturing or entrepreneur journey? So that's the main topic.
Can you identify the key contributions of your paper that you believe will have the most impact on the field?
Yeah, thank you. That's a very good question. So I think two main contribution I'm quite proud of is the first one is to really bring the concept of worldview to the forefront of entrepreneurship research. So can shed a spotlight on this very important, significant construct, but often, I believe, overlooked. And also, so basically, in the paper, we talk about how this worldview construct are decomposed or recomposed through the narratives by the participant from Mapuche people. And I think it's also very important to highlight it's not just an entity, it's not just an object, but it's kind of process. So in entrepreneurship research, we're familiar with entrepreneuring, right? I think it's very similar. We bring a similar idea to worldviewing. So worldview is not just attached to the person, maybe not change, but for our research, we find it changes, evolve. So I think it's quite important contribution I would like to highlight. So it's really to foreground the concept of worldview and to make sure that, we understand from a processual perspective, but not just from an entitative perspective. The second contribution I think is quite important is to highlight the interplay between worldview, indigenous worldview, and entrepreneurial journey. So basically, we think there is a reciprocal kind of influence. So basically, worldview help determine, maybe the decision made by entrepreneurs to shape entrepreneur journey. But in return, we also find by engaging with entrepreneur activity, it also help participants to reconnect or reinforce their worldview, which I find it's quite important, particularly related maybe with policy in the field of indigenous people development. A lot of policy comes from the logic of assimilation, right? We want to be westernized, the indigenous community. But actually, in our interview, a lot of people, maybe some participants, they mentioned, entrepreneurship helped me to find my culture. helped me find, you know, my identity. So I think there is really important maybe for the policymaker to realize that they powerful too, to use not just for economic development, but also for them to use entrepreneurship to help them to reconnect with their origin, and identity, culture as well.
What was for you the main theoretical or maybe methodological challenge or challenges in addressing such a question?
Well, again, very good question. So, yeah, I think it's really interesting because I often feel very minority when I was in University of Liverpool doing the research related with indigenous contests, because there's no one there, you know, doing similar research. So I think it's quite, so basically I have to do something quite, maybe haven't been discussed, for example, by my supervisor, or they don't know what I'm doing, for example, as well, at the very beginning. So for me, the challenge will be how can I, as my own positionality, I'm a non-Indigenous scholar trying to explore the issue within the Indigenous field. How can I integrate maybe different methodology together? The last thing I want to do is to just impose, you know, what existing in the Western, you know, a scholar field, entrepreneurship, maybe framework, without really questioning, you know, whether it can be applicable to a different, for example, Indigenous context. So I did spend a lot of time researching on Indigenous methodology, research paradigm, method, to make sure that I understand the principle of conducting Indigenous research as at least respectfully. So I think that I found some really rich literature or framework to kind of help us to integrate different views, interweave them into one. For example, there's a beautiful framework called a two-eyed seeing. So basically, you see things through two eyes. One eye represents from Indigenous knowledge system, the other eye from non-Indigenous knowledge, but no one submutes the other. So they're equally important. How can you see things through, you know, the same, no one dominates each other, and how you integrate them into the final finding? So I'm trying to go through this approach, and I do find quite a few articles even written by non-Indigenous scholar trying to argue there is space for integration, you know, particular for a qualitative researcher, require a lot interpretation, you know, construction, which can be complement with Indigenous research, particularly, for example, storytelling as well. So I think that's a bit challenging for me as from my own background, non-Indigenous background, in order to get into this field. But I do find there are some theoretical framework is available to support people like me want to get into this research, that you just have to integrate those framework.
Let's talk about the research process itself. Can you share something about the journey, perhaps a turning point during data collection, a difficult decision you had to make about the research design, or even a moment of doubt?
Yeah, okay. So that's, I think a PhD journey is a long time, right? Anything can go wrong, we all know. So, for example, when I started my PhD, it was in 2019, and we remember the COVID hit in 2021 or something. So I was in my second year, making a perfect plan for research design, trying to fly to Canada or Chile to do some field work. And then certainly, you know, everything had to be locked down. There's no flight, nothing. So there was very difficult for me, and in order to move on without being able to be in the field, because everything I read about Indigenous research is to embed yourself in the field. And then you can't even be there. So my supervisor by then, Pablo Minotes, was helpful. He introduced some a local collaborator for me to you know, finding some participant in Chile. So I think, yeah, I just have to get on with it, to be honest. So I tried to interview will be the major option for me to collect my data. And I also trying to be mindful, for example, ask them to bring the object, a photo, a craft into the interview so we can see the meaning they're making. And also I asked them to do a graphic illustration exercise, you know, during the first meeting, draw a picture of your relational mapping. So I'm trying to use maybe a couple different ways to generate different data sources. But it was very difficult because you can't be in the field. You can't feel them, you know, the energy. You can see them on a screen. They're always joking, oh, you're Chinese, tell me about your culture. So I think there is my presence in front of them. But yeah, it is very, I feel quite, you know, regret that I couldn't really meet them in person for my research.
If you could go back to the beginning of this project, knowing what you know now, what would you do differently? And what advice would you give to other scholars embarking on similar research?
Okay, I think I still feel very rewarding from my whole experience. I think I did it and I made some publication. I want to continue my journey with this participant. So that's very nice. Even anything can happen, including the COVID lockdown. But it's interesting when, you know, maybe I wish I could have something in my hindsight when I started collecting data, I could have interviewed more people. So the funny decision I made during my PhD is, okay, let's interview a small amount of people because qualitative research, there's no clear guide, you know, how many people is enough. So as a young PhD student, I thought, okay, I'm going to go build personal relationship with each of them. So I can't manage too many. Even my colleagues in Chile, they have a pool of participants, maybe up to 20. We only chose 5 and then but dropped down to 3. So this is actually, for me, if you think about a thick data, thick description, but I think I got some question from reviewers, as you can imagine, you know, why it's 3? Why not 5, 10? So I could maybe have built a bit more comprehensive database, I would say, if I could start again. But, you know, I think it will be really helpful as well for continue this research by having a bigger database, have a different kind of maybe communication with all these participants in the long term as well. So I think having this maybe bigger database, if you have this access, and also working with people local on the field. So like the collaborator Sebastian, we worked together since we met about 6 years ago. We're still working on very similar project nowadays. So I think making collaboration through this as well.
Thanks a lot, Ling, for participating to our show and presenting your paper entitled Worldview Matters, Exploring the Interplay Between Indigenous Worldviews and Entrepreneurial Journeys, Storytelling from Chile's Mapuche. You co-authored this paper with Sebastian Barros and Robert Blackburn. All our podcasts are available on entrepreneurship-ed.com and on the main podcast platforms.
Thank you.